Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday night, July the 31st, 2026. Last day in the month of July. Augusto, tomorrow, August the 1st. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What's coming up on your show at 10, Matt?
Next hour, I'm going to be talking about, the flock cameras are going to come up. There's some local, state, and national level politics. I don't remember what exactly they are, but I have a whole list, so lots of stuff.
Yeah, this is a little lighter than the subjects we've been on, but I self-diagnosed earlier to somebody earlier today. Here's what happened. A while ago, somebody was telling me that they were very into the holistic medicine, you know? Like
The grounding
and the oil in your stomach.
Oh, yeah, castor oil.
Castor oil. And, you know, I'm okay with that, whatever. I don't knock it. If you want to believe that, that's okay. Then, today, there was a new level. The new level was, don't be on your phone as much because of the waves are harmful to you.
I don't know that they're harmful to your health, but I do know that the brain, I guess the blue light, blue light, I suppose. Bad for your eyes.
But they used to say that about televisions, too, and that was never really true.
Well, I don't know, I think it was true.
No, they used to say, don't sit too close to the television. I mean, that was the thing people used to tell their kids.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the closer you sit to the TV, the worse it is for your eyes, I think.
Well, I don't ever know anybody who went blind because of the television.
That's why I think computers are so bad. Because, I mean, like, if you're going to play a game on the computer, you got to kind of, like...
I think carpal tunnel is going to hit you worse on a computer. But anyway, so this person...
Right, sorry. Yeah.
Was telling me this. And here... Because I don't... Here's why I cannot... I'm not saying... I have said for years that I think there are going to be studies on cell phones 100 years from now that are going to prove they are not good for us. Because I believe the radio waves are not good. I believe staring at them is not good. I believe typing is not good for carpal tunnel and things like that. I think there are a lot of things true. But here's the difference. If you have your cell phone out and I'm sitting across from you, that's going to affect me too. There's just too much Wi-Fi signal in the air now. There's just too much stuff everywhere you go.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, I think that's kind of the point. I mean, well, that's kind of the, I don't know, I was going to say argument, but I don't know. But, like, even if I got rid of my phone, like, you got the 5G tower waves. I mean, the reason that your phone has data is because you are being hit by 5G data. So
I am on my phone less than anybody. I guarantee you. I am on my phone just about less than anybody. But I look at a computer screen.
I use my phone, but it's more like I listen to music and, you know.
And at work. Who doesn't work with some kind of computer screen?
I don't know, factory people.
Very few. Very few. So, the point is that, okay, so you take that on top of all the holistic medicine stuff. So, here's what I have self-diagnosed. I finally have a self-diagnosis. I believe this person has an unhealthy fear of illness and death. And they're trying to avoid everything. And they're trying anything they can do. Because I believe now that the holistic medicine is because they fear drugs. But this thing about computers and cell phones can't be about, you know, drugs. So now I'm starting to think they fear illness and death. So they don't want to be on the drugs, which is where the holistic medicine comes in. I think there's a fear of death and a fear of illness.
I don't understand people who have a fear of, like, pharmaceuticals.
I think more people should be medicated. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Medicate everybody.
I'm weird about medicine, I guess. But, like, it's not because I don't trust it. I trust, like, pharmaceuticals, like billions of percentages higher than I don't know. I don't want to call them black market. They're like gray market, I get. Like, you know, unregulated
medicine. If this person
medicine.
Was on some kind of medicine, they wouldn't act like this.
Like, unregulated medicine, like the gray market pharmaceutical industry, like, it is so much larger than the actual pharmaceutical company. And actual pharmaceuticals have to go through, like, rigorous testing with, like, you know, control groups and, like, the peer-reviewed study. Like, it's a lot of work to get, like a prescription, a pharmaceutical approved.
Here's the problem. We were just talking during the break about a completely different person. Now, this person believes in grounding, too. So, again, if that person were medicated as well, they wouldn't have that problem. I think they should be medicated.
Like the first company?
See, that's the problem. That's the circular nature of this. They fear medication, so it makes them a little nutty. But if they were on the medication, it would cure the nuttiness. But they won't take the medication because they fear it. It's a terrible, vicious circle.
I mean, I think that's I think that goes along with, like, I mean, I'm no doctor, but I feel like a lot of people with mental illness are not fond of taking their medicine.
Yeah,
you know,
problem. Alcoholics are another one.
I think
one.
That's interesting.
Alcoholics are another one, which I do believe that's a mental illness, falls in that category.
Alcoholism.
Yeah, I think that people are genetically prone to that. And I believe a lot of people self-medicate with medicine, with alcohol, instead of medicine, and they're fearful of medicine. But they're not fearful of alcohol.
So do you think, like, addiction in and of itself is a disease?
Yes, because I believe in addictive personalities.
Okay.
I do. I mean, everybody I've ever known, almost, nothing I guess is a definite, but most people who had problems with something bad, like alcoholism, they were prone to other illnesses as well, prone to other vices.
Well, I mean, I know that, like, people with, like, anxiety, you know, tend to, I guess there are loads of ways that people, you know, cope, I suppose is the word, but, like, addiction tends to run high in people with anxiety and, you know, things like that.
So I don't know if I believe that, because I've known a lot of people who were...
Like, I'm just like, what is the trait?
Compulsion. It's you drink too much, you smoke too much, you eat too much.
Well, that sounds like gluttony.
No, it's addictive. It's an addictive person. You're not hungry, but you're still eating.
That's called gluttony.
You can't just smoke once. You've got to smoke a peck.
Gluttonous.
You can't just drink one. You've got to drink yourself silly.
Yeah, it's still gluttony.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I don't think that's gluttony, though. I think that is I think you do think you want more.
No, look. I'm no religious person, but the seven deadly sins are pretty accurate. I mean, I think the seven deadly sins are probably the thing that killed the most people.
No, but I'm saying, what is the correlation? Why do you want to eat too much and drink too much? They make you feel completely different. Eating too much is not going to mess with your brain.
I mean, I don't know. They both give you the like dopamine.
You will notice, again, not everybody, but a lot of people who drink a lot smoke. And I've noticed that over the years. I think that's a very interesting trait. I had an alcoholic. He would not mind me saying. Matter of fact, he wouldn't mind if I said his name. But there was somebody in my family who was absolutely alcoholic and had to go to rehab twice for it. It's the first time I went to rehab to see somebody.
Like AA or...
No, rehab center. Rehab center. And still goes to AA as far as I know.
Oh, that's good.
But they could not have a drink today. And they would tell you they couldn't have a drink. And they were the only smoker in the family. And I thought that was very interesting. Had 1, 2, 3, 4 other siblings. And none of them smoked. And also... Well, it's interesting. 4 other siblings, none of them smoked, but did have one brother who I also think was alcoholic, but never got help for it. But they would smoke when they drank.
I don't know many people who don't smoke when they drink.
Think about that. What's the correlation there? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Dr. Scott, I think you got some of those things wrong.
No, I have a PhD.
People eat, that makes them feel better. A lot of depressed people will eat.
Oh,
some
yes, yes.
Get the half gallon ice cream and bring in here, and eating makes them feel better.
Right, but what I'm saying is at the end of eating that, you're not going to get the feeling that you're going to get without alcohol will put you out of your mind.
Well,
and smoking certain things gives you a high. Food is not giving you that kind of a high.
You mean smoking marijuana?
Well, smoking other things.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the reason why they do it.
You could eat a tub of ice cream and still drive the car and keep it between the lines. The other two things, you're not.
Well, the other...
Marijuana and alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, I could sit down and smoke a quarter ounce of marijuana, and I'm only going to get so high that I could go out there and get in the car, and I could just drive...
But I'm not talking about a quarter... I'm not talking about a quarter ounce. You're talking about a quart of ice cream. I'm talking about a lot. I'm talking about gluttony.
I said bring in the whole half gallon set here and eat it.
Right, but could you still drive to the store after you did?
After I ate that whole half gallon?
Yeah.
Sure,
but if you drank a half gallon of alcohol, could you drive down to the store?
Oh, no.
No. Right, there you go. That's the difference.
How much I smoked, I could drive.
A half gallon?
I don't know how you
smoked a half gallon of
I don't know what. If you ate 27 gummies?
Well, I don't normally eat gummies, but I'm sure I could.
I don't think you'd be... Listen, I was told one gummy would throw you over the edge.
Well, they make good fish bait.
No, but this is my point. Food, okay, it really doesn't make you feel better. Truly, food in and of itself does not make you feel better.
It gives you dopamine.
It's a mental thing.
Dopamine.
Yes, alcohol
mental,
is...
Dopamine is definitely a physical
alcohol
thing.
Alcohol is not dopamine. Alcohol is changing your perspective. It's affecting you. It's not like dopamine. It's something you're putting in your body.
People that have mental
illnesses, you know why they don't take their medicine sometimes?
Why is that?
Because that medicine tends to make them sleepy.
They don't
want to be on the medicine because it makes them sleepy.
Well, take it at night.
Well, some people with mental illness don't, there's really, you know, just like me, night, day, you know, there ain't much difference. I sleep when I can, and sometimes I sleep at night, but majority of the time I sleep during the day.
But what I'm saying is, if you have a mental illness, that will help you. Maybe you need to
help
sleep.
Help you?
Yes.
What'll help you?
Maybe I need what?
I said people with a mental illness need to be helped because it does not get any better.
But what helps them?
Well, sometimes medication.
Might have some type of mental illness if you want to get super, super, super technical. But my mental illness is I experience so much pain. And it's hard for me to get to sleep. Doctor even increased one of my pills. It's kind of helping. But there's many times I go till day and a half, 2 days, and then when my body is just completely out of it, then I can sleep. But when I turn out the lights at night to go to sleep, if I'm watching TV or doing something, my legs are still hurting me, but my mind's on something else. So it's more tolerable. But when I turn out the lights, my mind ain't on nothing, and you can't get to sleep.
Well, why not leave the lights on?
Well, I'm not talking just turn out the lights. I'm talking about wanting to go to sleep.
Well, no, I'm talking, like I have said this many times.
I can try to go to sleep with the lights on, and it can be the same thing.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like I've said, I like to have the television on when I sleep.
Terrible.
Well, that's you. But for me, I like to have it on because I hear other things.
And I like to have my fan on.
Like, that would drive me nuts. I don't like a fan.
That drowns out some of the car noise that drives by.
There you go. Same thing with the television. Now,
I'll leave the fan on during the winter and they're not pointing at me, but...
Like the television, it will put me to sleep even though... Because I'm focusing on that now. But just kind of in the background.
I always just kind of lay down and think... I have a fan. I like my fan, but I could sleep without a fan. But I don't like to sleep with the TV on. But usually I'll just lay there.
I think you could fall asleep with the TV on.
Oh, I don't know.
You sleep right through anything. You'd sleep through a car crash.
I turn off my TV when I go to sleep. I can't.
Well, leave your television on and you won't miss any programs from now on.
But I don't like to fall asleep with the TV on. They even make these noise devices that you can get thunderstorms, you can get...
Right.
Oh, yeah, white noise. Sounds, yeah, white noise.
Wind sounds.
But my point is, in my opinion, and in what I have seen in life, people tend to have addictive personalities. If you are addicted to one thing, you tend to be addicted to other. But somebody who can take a drink can tend to try something else and not have to go back to it. I think it's a personality trait.
Some people that like beer can start drinking whiskey, and is what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying anything they try that is giving them some kind of a high or some kind of a down, they get addicted to that feeling. There's something about it they cannot do it once and walk away.
What? Just like serial killers. They get addicted to that feeling of taking somebody's life. They get high on that.
But
a lot of times they'll take a memento.
Why wouldn't take them to a bar?
Well, no, I wouldn't take them to a bar either.
No, but that's just my point. Is I think that is more as I self-diagnosed the person today. I don't think that they truly believe that their cell phone is causing them harm because they would go to everybody in their family and yank the cell phone away from them. That's not reality. You know, it's just there's something going on there.
Well, I believe some people think cell phones is harming them.
Yeah, but if you believe that,
people that think the windmills are harming
right,
them.
But if you believe that cell phones were doing you really
are killing all the birds.
Yeah, but if you believe cell phones were doing you terrible harm, would you keep it? Would you let your kids have it?
It's terrible for development, I can tell you that much. Bad for development?
No, I wouldn't if I knew something was causing terrible harm.
Okay, so if you still have your cell phone, and if you still have your kids having their cell phone, then do you really believe that it's doing you harm?
Speaking of addiction, phones are...
Cell phones don't necessarily do you harm, but the problems you can get into with your cell phone can do you harm. If you're getting on certain websites or... different things that can cause you harm,
but that's not what this conversation's about. This is about waves.
If you have a cell phone, you know, molesters.
That's not what this is about. That's not what we're talking about. That's not how it was described to me. It was the waves.
Yeah, but you're trying to go by what you do and what you feel and stuff, and.
I don't think that the cell phone is putting off waves.
Somebody else.
No, I'm
saying... some people that can go in there and take a shit and just, you know, sit there and do it, and they're done in 2 minutes. And there's some people that go in there, and they get constipated easy, and they struggle, but just because Scott can go in there and take a shit in 2 minutes and then he just falls out of it.
I don't
right now,
think
you know?
That that's anywhere near.
Is that?
No.
Is
because.
That the way everybody should be?
No.
Is that the way everybody. Maybe if they take a drink of alcohol, they'll be all shit better? Or, you know. According to your doctoring theory, I mean.
That's not what I said. That's not anywhere near what I've said tonight.
Yeah, but you think just because things are the way they are with you,
I don't have these problems.
The way they are with everybody.
That's not. No, I don't have any of these problems that I'm aware of.
Well, I know you treat women like crap.
It's not true at all.
Well, you ask Addie.
No, who? Listen, I've treated her just fine over the years.
What? She's listening.
Who knows? All I'm saying is that this doesn't have nothing to do with me. I'm saying what other people do. I don't have that problem.
Right, and you don't think anybody else can have that problem either.
No, I'm saying they have that problem.
Or can have that problem.
No, I'm saying I do believe they need mental help.
Well, mental help just goes so far, you know. Not everybody that has a problem, you know, in life. Well, you've never been married.
I don't see that as a problem.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
I think you kind of have a mental problem there. it's a fact that married people normally live a little bit longer than
it's
a
an efficiency. That's right.
Not the men. Not the men. The men die early to get away from it.
Dying to get out of that marriage.
So this doesn't benefit me. So all the married people are crazy because they don't live as long.
You might die pretty soon, so I want to...
Well, I hope not. Hope I make it to the end of this show.
And get yourself married. You have a little kid.
Listen, I said recently, I've come around on the issue, at some point in life, I will get married to a nurse, because I'll probably need somebody to take me around when it's dark outside, and make sure I get to all the doctor's appointments, and, you know, pull the plug when it's time.
Oh, and they make good money.
Well, I'm not concerned about that. You don't marry for money.
Well, of course you do.
No, you don't!
That's good to know.
God almighty!
You want to marry somebody who works at McDonald's, or would you rather marry a nurse?
Free pops every day.
Well,
there you go, see? Got you there. Got you there.
Okay, I'll listen to you guys.
Thank you, bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I don't care how much money somebody makes.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All the women who I've ever been around, I never thought about the money they made. I never thought about what they did.
I don't know. I like to think about what people do. I don't know that the money matters.
I think they change. Some of them changed jobs when I was around them.
Some people have cool jobs.
One was a banker, and then one, they became a waitress, and then became... I think they made more money as a waitress than they did as a banker. Then they became, I think they worked at a hospital as a receptionist. I think at a hospital. I think that paid pretty well. I didn't look at their checkbook.
I don't know why you would.
As long as they weren't asking me for money, I didn't care.
Well, I don't know. The moment they start asking you for money, that's when...
That's the secret to a good relationship. Separate bathrooms, separate checking accounts.
Separate bedrooms. Keep your bedroom separate, too.
I'm just saying, first time you walk in that bathroom in the morning and there's a hair straightener there and you scald yourself on it, third degree burns. You're ready for... You don't care how good that relationship is. You're
I'm
done.
Telling you,
it's done.
Keep your eyes open. Just watch out for the curling irons.
Not a curling. I'm talking about that straight... That thing smells. I mean, it's like...
It's the same thing.
Oh, no.
A curling iron is literally just a... It's
this ain't 1987.
I
think they're getting their pantyhose out as they're curling their hair in the morning. No, they've got the hair straighteners in there.
Everybody I know that has a straightener
also
has a curler.
Things look like an egg thing. An egg...
Everybody I know that has a straightener has a curler.
They're not the people I know. They just had their straightener with them.
Why are you straightening?
And they straighten in their hair every morning. And I thought, you know, what would you? How much different would you look?
You know, I'm sure you know this, but I just always found it to be one of my favorite little tidbits of information about this person. We used to work with somebody who used to go into the bathroom every hour, 2 hours, and comb their hair, make sure it stayed in place.
Well, who's that?
Retired now.
Retired?
Yeah, they retired.
Recently?
I don't have anything to write on.
Give me an index card.
Okay. I
maybe I didn't pay this close attention to this.
I mean, I could give you like the
give me what it starts with.
I could give you the rude nickname that everybody called him.
I'll see if I can get it with that.
Farquaad.
No, I don't know that.
Really?
I've never heard that.
Actually, here, I think I have my phone. Oh, no, it's great. Because, oh, no. Like, I'll tell you who it is, but then I gotta show you a picture of Lord Farquaad.
Oh no, I didn't even know that was a nickname.
Yeah.
Why was that a nickname?
Oh, I'm about to show you.
Oh.
because look.
Oh well, I guess.
I mean, they got the whole same style going on.
Well, that's not very nice, though.
Well, no, but I mean, it was funny.
So this person went in and combed their hair
every like hour and a half hour. They'd like go to the bathroom and comb their hair.
How do people know that?
I don't know how I figured that out.
You were in the same bathroom.
No, but I figured that out, and I thought it was funny stuff. Jeez. So I figured it was just a commonly known piece of knowledge.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. You know. So I think they you know, took time to do their hair in the morning, and they made sure it stayed that way.
Well, that's good, though. I think there are probably other people who do that. I'll tell you, I know somebody of the opposite sex who used to go into the bathroom a lot, and I don't think they were going to the bathroom that often, so they were probably doing something like that.
Just freshening up as
you
they
know
say.
Who I'm talking about.
Maybe.
Yeah. They went in the bathroom a lot, because I ran into them in that hallway a lot.
They still work there?
No. But they went a lot, and I don't think it was to go to the bathroom.
I mean, nothing against it. I just thought it was funny, I suppose.
I think a lot of women do that. And you look at them, and they look pretty, you know, put together.
No, I think it's funny.
I think a lot of them check their makeup.
I'm not going to redo my makeup.
No, they touch it up. But I don't know about the...
It's putting in too much effort.
But I don't know about the hair straighteners.
I think straighteners are fine.
I don't care. I'm just saying how curly is their hair?
They ought to bring back the curlers, you know, the ones where you always see the old woman in the shows with their hair up in curlers.
Well, the men get the perms now, and the women straighten their hair.
Isn't that something?
Everything went haywire.
I don't know. I think it's okay.
No man had a perm in the 80s.
Were there long-haired people in the 80s?
Not really. People would get... That's when the flat top came about. The flat top came about in the 80s.
The 70s was like the long hair era, right?
Then the skinhead thing happened.
Oh, no. Pass on that.
But that wasn't... You know, that never really got... super. It only got super popular with a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It did with the bald.
Nah, I don't know. I don't like it.
No.
I think that the valid strategy, if you're bald, is to just get a really big beard. I think that's the strat.
That's what they do now.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
Beards were out for a long time. Now they're back in.
You know, it's funny. You know, there's a fear of beards.
I think there should be.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's funny. But
I think they look terrible.
But we haven't had a president with a beard since I don't know how far back it goes. But you know, at some point they
Garfield.
At some point they stopped shaving their they stopped growing out their beards, and now they're all clean shaven, look baby faced.
Well, I think it looks better.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's fine.
They always say a man with a beard has something to hide. I think that's true.
Why?
Because you're trying to hide your face, so it's obviously psychosomatic.
Oh, I don't think you're trying to hide your face. You have a beard.
Well, this is just another thing, I believe.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to just agree to disagree on that one.
Because it's kind of a... it's kind of like the Albert Einstein theory, you know? He didn't run a comb through his hair. He was just... There was something wrong with him.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Albert Einstein pretty much had the same... Now, people say he never changed. I don't think that's true. I'm pretty sure it was more like he had, like, roughly the same outfit. Just, like, a whole bunch of roughly the same outfits, so he never really had to think about what to wear. And he never really did anything with his hair because he was like, too much brain power.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I got a beard because I don't want to shave all the time.
But see, but that's, you know... To me, it doesn't seem like a lot of work to shave every day.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
I'm with him.
No, it's not.
It's a lot of work.
It takes me 5 minutes.
Yeah, it didn't take a lot of time. I just don't want to do it.
My beard, my hair there is longer or grows faster than yours. If I shave in the morning, by the time 5 or 6 o'clock comes, I'll have a shadow.
Yep.
You can see where it's darker there.
Yeah, but you shave once a day.
If I'm clean shaven, I have to shave 2-3 times a day.
Well, no, you just shave once a day. I'm not talking about shadow. I'm talking about a beard.
Yeah, no, shaving once a day is way too much work. And look, last time I shaved, I went to work like 2 or 3 days after I shaved. My mom looked at me and said, "Man, you need to shave." And I was like, "Man, what? I just shaved." So I don't know. I haven't shaved since then because I was like, "Wow, what a waste of time that is."
You might still have peach fuzz, Scott, and that shaves off real easy.
See, now you're making assumptions. I'm just saying that it's part of a routine in the morning, and I shave once a day.
Well, I congratulate you for it.
That's a lot of work.
Thank you. And I'm not trying to hide anything.
Well, I'm not trying to hide nothing either.
But we don't know that, because we wouldn't know if you were.
The military shaves every day.
There you go. They're not hiding anything.
You know, I just get tired of doing it. Plus, by having a beard, you know, sometimes after I eat something, you know, a couple hours later, I can find something in my beard there, and that's just an extra snack.
Well, see, there you go. We now know the whole truth of it all.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. See, there you go.
I think they should let the military have beards. Could you imagine, like you know how much more, like...
Everybody looks the same now. Bald head, beard.
I think the intimidation factor would just be better if there was just, like imagine you, like, I don't know, look at like, the Norse military. They got big, bushy beards in the Norse military. Like, I don't know, they look scary. We look like, I don't know, like we straight up just, like, got done with high school.
You telling me every man doesn't look the same now with a shaved head and a beard?
Well, I don't have a shaved head.
They all look the same when I see them.
You don't have a shaved head?
No, I'm saying there are differences. There are exceptions to the rule. But the majority of,
like,
people
bald?
Have... Yes.
Yeah, I don't know anybody.
Cue ball head and a beard.
I don't know anybody who's like that.
I do. I'll point them out to you. They come in all the time.
Okay. I mean, I know one, but I don't think that's, like, by choice.
I don't know why they all do that. Maybe it's because they can't. Wonder why you don't grow hair on your head, but you can grow it on your face.
A different kind of hair.
I don't know.
I know that your facial hair has more, like, keratin in it than your head hair.
I think it's an interesting thing, but... Anyway, I have self-diagnosed this person as a fear of death. That's where we were starting. I think that's what... It's got to be what's driving all this holistic medicine, and now a fear of cell phones.
Oh, I don't know. I think if you had a fear of death, you'd just be, like, wanting to go to the hospital all the time.
You could. But this is... I think they're on the track.
Like, I know people who just go to the hospital, like... I don't know. Like, they just, like, sneeze wrong, and they're at the hospital.
So what do you believe that is? I don't want to take medicine. I want to do the holistic approach on everything. I believe that cell phones are killing me.
If you want my opinion, I honestly think they probably fell for some kind of internet, just misinformation. I'm sure that somebody was just lying through their teeth about, like, vaccines,
right,
or something stupid.
Well, I could read that, too, but I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So you just call them gullible.
Yeah, kind of. I'm calling them gullible. I mean, I don't know. Like the grounding thing. There have been studies on grounding that do show that there's some benefit to it, but the studies were done by people who had reasons to want there to be benefits, and they were funded by a company whose sole purpose is selling grounding things. Now, that doesn't mean the science is inherently bad, but it does mean that somebody else should probably, like, an independent third party, privately funded, should probably come in and do that. Rather than the grounding people doing research.
But what do you care if people want to ground? See, that I don't see any harm in. If you want to go outside and stand bare feet,
it's just,
go ahead.
It's just the... I guess it's just the concept that you're just believing things that isn't true. Like, you are believing... you're just believing in misinformation, essentially. If you're believing in bad information. If you can believe in bad information about one thing, you can believe in that, like, vaccines are bad. I mean, like, measles case is through the roof right now. By the way, you should definitely get your vaccines. Vaccines are positive. Polio's on a comeback. We almost had polio eradicated. Polio's on a comeback. I mean, like, I don't know what else to say. I mean, you believe misinformation involving one medical thing. I mean, you're bound to believe that vaccines cause autism.
People do. Good number of people do.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
The head of the health department right now does.
Yeah, I know, and he's stupid. I don't know what else to say about that one. He's dumb.
I had heard somebody the other... Well,
I don't even know that he's dumb.
Somebody the other day, we got on the topic of the COVID vaccination. Holy
mackerel. Oh, you got to avoid the COVID vaccine.
They went crazy. Their mother is ill because of it and having after effects, and it was all a scam by the government, and Dr. Fauci should be put in jail, and Dr. Acton's okay. just as bad. And I just let him talk. I said, okay. Good. Uh-huh. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know why measles and polio's coming back?
Well, I mean, it doesn't help that RFK is in the DHS right now, and he fired the entire 15-person vaccine board and hired all anti-vaxxers.
Good for you. You realize the truth.
All right. Thank you. And he's got no beard. Thank you. He puts it all. No, but you know something that's interesting? Gullible people aren't, they don't have a sense of humor. Have you ever, that's another thing I line up in people.
That gullible people don't have a sense of humor.
Well, no, they can't be funny. Like, they can't tell a joke. They can't, like, stand-up comedians. I was talking with Mike Larson about this last night, actually, at the show. People who are stand-up comedians, if they're in the audience, they don't laugh. Even if they find something funny. And we were talking about, because they're more cerebral people. I think that's true.
Well, I mean, yeah, because, I don't know, to everybody, to the majority of people, it's like, it's just a joke. To them, it's like, you know, it's a craft. It's the craft.
No, I'm not just saying, I'm saying in general, because what I think a comedian is always thinking about putting the joke together, just in a normal conversation.
Yeah, it's the craft. Like,
well, no, I'm talking, like, you and I are having a conversation, and neither one's a stand-up comedian, but somebody takes something we say, one of us takes something and turns it into a punchline. You had to craft that in your mind. I couldn't be sitting there having the serious conversation with you if I wasn't taking it and turning it into a punchline.
I guess.
I had in my mind to associate that to something else.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're doing that, you're not usually open to laughter because you're taking everything more cerebral. That's like an automatic thing your brain does.
You're just thinking about it?
You're thinking about doing it. You're thinking about turning it into a joke. How can I take this and turn it into a joke?
I mean, I guess, but I still think that's just the craft.
I think one, and that a lot of people don't like her because of her politics, but one of the quickest people, I think, on television who is a stand-up comedian is Joy Behar. And she's been on this show twice, but she's on The View. And that's a live show.
Is she a Republican?
Democrat. She's
isn't there a Republican on The View? Who's that supposed to be?
I don't know her name, but she is a Republican. But she's a Democrat, big D Democrat, so a lot of people don't like her. But that show is live. And it's five women, and they're not feeding her lines. And she will take I think if she sees the room for the joke, you know, she'll hit it out of the park. And sometimes even the other comedians there will applaud her at how fast she works on something like that. Like, the best joke, I can remember it to this day, it was when Hillary Clinton was running against Obama in the primary. Now, the discussion was about how politicians change their opinions on things when they're running for office to pander to other groups. And somebody, I don't remember who was on the panel on The View that time, but they were talking about how Hillary Clinton was in New Hampshire or somewhere, and she was pandering to the gun owners by holding a gun at a rally. And that was the big discussion. Was she pandering to people by holding this gun? And blah, 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 blah.
She was holding a gun
at a rally. She was showing that she could shoot. She knew how to work a gun.
I don't know. It seemed kind of cheesy, but all right.
Cool. Okay. But anyway, that was was she pandering? And Joy Behar said, out of the blue on The View, she said, you know, it was something like, are you kidding me? If she was pro-gun, she would have shot her husband a long time ago. And that got the biggest response because everybody knew who Bill Clinton was. And everybody knew what he had done. And it made sense. Now, you've got to be... They're not setting you up with that joke. That was funny.
I don't know. I mean...
Let me see if I can find that line. We're running out of time, but we'll see if we can find it in real time.
Hillary Clinton's funny.
Say, plug your show.
I mean, on my show, we're going to talk about local, national, and state politics. Recently, there was a Virginia Supreme Court ruling, I do believe, put a stop to the. They had an assault rifle ban that went into practice, so they shot that one down. I mean, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about flock cameras. We're going to talk about Donald Trump blaming Tim Walz for some, cyber attacks that have been happening, apparently. So on and so forth. There was a football story, so we'll probably throw that in there, but I talked about it last week. I don't know that it's all that relevant. I just thought it was interesting.
I don't know if this is it or not. I don't think this is it. No, I don't think that's the clip I want.
Why don't you, find the one about, I would throw in, gun or something.
Well, it was... I think it's more than that. This might have been it. No, that's not it. You know, you find every clip that you don't want, not the clip that you do want. Isn't that terrible?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, I don't like not being able to find what I'm looking for.
Anyway, maybe I put the year in. I think that was 2008. When that whole thing was going on. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm also seeing if I can't find it.
Isn't it terrible when you can't find something? Why?
Was Matthew McConaughey on the show?
I don't think so. I remember they were talking something about, I think they talked about Mitt Romney, something like that. I don't remember. There was something going on that day that brought up the discussion.
Well, I cannot find it. The only one I found is, for some reason, got Matthew McConaughey in it.
Well, I thought this was an interesting, we'll play this one. Get something in here. This was an interesting discussion.
Clip of Sarah Palin talking to a town hall group, wherever she was. I don't know where she was. And this is what she said about Joe Biden.
I've been hearing about his Senate speeches since I was in second grade.
When you have a 72-year-old running mate, is that a kind of a risky thing to say? It's insinuating that Joe Biden's been around a while?
Oh, no, it's nothing negative at all. He's got a lot of experience, and just stating the fact there that we've been hearing his speeches for all these years. So he's got a tremendous amount of experience, and, I'm the new energy, the new face, the new ideas, and he's got the experience.
We got it. First of all, to be so disingenuous as to say that you did not want to get a laugh and that you didn't mean it. Now, all of a sudden, she's rolling it back in the interview with Katie. Mm-hmm. It's just baloney. It's like when I say that George Bush writes with crayons. I don't then say, what I'm saying is he's a great artist. What I really meant is the guy was a great artist.
But she
no, she meant the joke. The fact that she's so dumb as to say, wait a second, politically not astute, let's put it that way. I'm not saying that. Okay. Politically unastute enough to make a joke about age when she is running with the oldest man that's ever run before. That's what I mean.
I don't care
just shook up in your boots you get over Sarah Palin. I love how I just
you
like
feel you have to defend
great.
Her every single time.
Oh,
you
no.
guys both got the same
no,
boots
I just
wearing.
Think she's, I don't think she's afraid to address yeah. certain things. I think, look.
She made a mistake and,
she's
we ca- and she got caught.
She was just,
it was so she made a mistake. Yes, she made a mistake. She made a joke and forgot. And when someone pointed it out to her, she did what people do. When
I think she did on purpose.
I think she
did.
I think she made a mistake. I think she made a mistake when she said, you know, I've been listening to him since I was in the second grade.
Right.
It was clearly a little bit of a dig, as she has been known to do. But I think it hadn't, I don't think she was thinking and saying, oh, I better not say this because I'm running with all the Scots. One of those things, people
Please.
Step in it, and they did. And
then,
she stepped in it and pointed
you,
it out. She should have said, you know what, you're right.
She doesn't say that, you're right.
No,
that, those words are not in her vocabulary. Everything you're reading about Sarah Palin is that she has all of these people prepping her, so that she doesn't say the wrong thing on the debate Thursday night. And it reminds me of all the kids and all of us who used to prep for the exam. You'd pass the exam, the next day you didn't know what you were talking about because you were prepping for the exam. And I'm sure she'll do fine, and I'm sure he'll do fine, but it bothers me that one has to be prepped so much for a debate and filled, crammed full of material. How does that help?
Don't they prep everybody?
Yes, but most of them have a background of more experience, and don't. What we keep reading about Sarah Palin is that she's got these people, this whole team who are prepping her. And I think that's great, and it may help in the debate, but I'm not sure, and I'm talking about everybody, that prepping so that you just pass a debate and don't make a huge mistake is necessarily what makes a great president.
I don't think she's prepping to just pass the debate like a pop quiz. Quiz and fourth period in high school. I think to say that, to reduce her to that level of mind is, I think, unfair.
But she doesn't have the experience.
But wait a minute.
Let's think, if you want to talk about experience, the person with the least amount of experience on both sides of the ticket is at the top of the ticket on the Democratic side.
But
Barack Obama.
But he can have the conversation. Absolutely. You know what? Let me say this. You know what?
He said a year and a half of running and answering
of running, running qualifies
so,
you to be the president.
Yes.
Running for the president
Excuse me.
You.
The truth of the matter is none of them, as I keep saying, is qualified to be the president. Not one of them. Because the only person who has ever qualified to be the president is someone who has done it. Because all of these people are stepping into a situation they have never faced before. That's the first thing I want to say. And the second thing I want to say is that one of the reasons Sarah Palin is getting the attention that she's getting is because people met her a month ago. It's like going on a date with somebody. Yeah, you look like you're nice. Yeah, I'll go out with you again. I want to spend some time with you. I want to get to know you. So I got to ask you some questions that maybe you might not want to answer or you're not sure that you should answer, but they need to be asked. That's why, because she's a heartbeat away, should God forbid, because McCain is a friend. I like him. I don't want anything to happen to him. But God forbid something should. She is a heartbeat away from being the president of the United States. And that's why people are asking. Because she doesn't know anything about it. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Why do you always have to?
She
knows little about it.
Okay, if you want to take breakdown the responsibilities of being
none
a president, who, in terms of being commander in chief, who has led a brigade? Who
has
been in charge of a
brigade?
John McCain has. Who has been in charge of an oversight?
What does that have to do with being president? That is not all presidency is. It's not just leading a brigade. It's knowing about economics. It's knowing about how to deal with the people that are in the country. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that, but in terms of experience, she's actually been leading a microcosm.
None of them have the experience to lead the nation. Sorry, none of them.
When she says that Putin is going to rear his head, when she says that Putin is going to rear his head into Alaska, she doesn't sound presidential, okay?
You know,
she needs to be prepped.
Does Joe Biden sound presidential when he thinks FDR was president during the Depression and
that
cheese was invented?
That's a different level of error.
See, that's why that show could never make it on radio. God.
There's a lot of crosstalk.
You know, before I wrap up here tonight, one of my favorite Phyllis Diller jokes, because Phyllis Diller was friends with Joy Behar. And one year they were doing Joy Behar's birthday on The View. And they took a camera out to like 93-year-old Phyllis Diller in California. And she said, Joy, I just want to wish you a very happy birthday to your friend Phyllis Diller. You know, you're a panelist on one of my favorite television show. No, she said, you're a panelist on my favorite television show where everybody talks at the same time. And I think that's about what that show is.
By the way, did she just say that Obama was dumb because he believed that FDR was president during the
debate? No, Joe Biden.
Oh, Biden.
Yeah. I see. Well, I'm going to hold over for a second because maybe I just thought of somewhere where it might be.
I thought she said FDR. I was so confused because I was like, but he was. Okay. So that makes more sense, I guess.
Here we go. Here are some funny moments. Hold on here. Let's try to listen to this, see if there's something funny here. Here you go.
Yeah, and it's an intense challenge. It really is. I try very hard every day.
Which are your people?
I consider red state people my people.
Yeah. Unless you all did everybody say what they had to say?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it's thinking.
The Democrats have a law. He's lying. Is that?
That is not true.
Okay. He's lying. Say it.
I have my legal hat on.
What's the white lie? You look thin in that tie? What kind of a lie? I don't get that. And somebody just yelled out, Trump, to me, like, you know, like some kind of weird, like a blurt.
Outburst? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Just like a blurt to me, like I'm supposed to understand what that means, which I do.
Defend you. I would never let anyone pick you out of a restaurant.
And this is not the American.
Don't you say when they go lower?
We should go lower.
Yeah,
but
then platform.
Yeah. And I understand that you spent time with the Trump family before your family decided to join the Trump ticket.
Yeah.
Tell me, what are you saying them that I don't see? Well, my father totally ignored me, so let me move on. And I appreciated that. I'm sitting here with the three of you. It's really like kind of weird. My dad, the senator, and my dad, the vice president, and my dad, the truck driver, okay? He has to be with your mother or some other chaperone of some sort.
Yeah.
Is that really true? I mean, even the Pope sits with a woman once in a while.
She's funny.
Who's she? Not her.
The woman.
The girl that they were talking
about. Mike Pence's daughter.
Oh, I see. Okay.
What do you see in Trump that I don't see? All right, Matt's show's coming up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Hello. If you listen and enjoy A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, help A Voice of a People to be better. A $10 donation a week pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People. And so by doing, you will have the privilege of your name, business, organization, church, or your favorite charity mentioned or announced during our broadcast and entered into a drawing which will be held weekly. Prizes will vary. I also want to say this. Anonymous donators are welcome and will be respected. Remember, if you want to make A Voice of a People a better program, a $10 a week donation / pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People.
Voice